Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
$6.7 million. That's how much mega financial publisher MarketWise says it paid out to copywriters in royalties last year. And now they're making an offer so good, we had to rush today's special guest, top copywriter and best-selling author Glenn Fisher, onto the show to tell you about it. The offer is simple yet overwhelming. Free training from MarketWise, this huge financial publisher, to 12 lucky copywriters, and one of them will be offered a chance to write copy for this publishing giant. Glenn will tell you all about the training in a few minutes, but let me tell you first about Glenn. He knows the value of training himself because he trained with legends Bill Bonner and Mark Ford of Agora. Then he went on to run one of Agora's businesses in the UK. He wrote the Amazon bestseller, The Art of the Click, which was also translated into Chinese and Korean. And he co-created Financial Copy U with Nick O'Connor and MarketWise, where they will be mentoring 12 writers over 12 weeks for free, starting in early September. So if you want to put your name in the hat, today would be a good day. And we'll find out about all of this just after you find out, and probably not for the first time, that copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast. And most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries, like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So Glenn, welcome. I know we put this together at the last minute. Thanks so much for joining us today.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me, David. It's a pleasure to get to speak to you and share this opportunity with people as well.
Yes. So first question, before we get into all the exciting details, if someone wants to apply for one of these 12 free spots, how do they submit their application?
So the first thing to do is if you go to financialcopyu.com, you will find on there a link to a little button saying how to apply. And there is a letter. You're going to come across a lot of sales copy in this process, but we give you a little bit of our own sales copy, first of all, selling the idea, trying to explain what we're doing and putting it out. Through that, if you register for that, you'll go through to a video from Nick that explains what we want from you. But essentially, it's just two things. I want you basically to write us a short piece selling yourself to us, and then just an example of your writing. We're kind of not interested in any CVs or anything like that. And that's really it. We just want to see a bit of your kind of salesmanship and try and persuade us why you should come on the course, why you would like to work for a company like MarketWise. And it's as simple as that in practical terms. Obviously, there's a lot more kind of depth and understanding to what you're actually doing when you're trying to persuade people to do anything. But really, it's one of those things where there's no kind of catches. It was when you was explaining it there, David, The one thing I thought that sounds quite good. It's actually it's a little bit better when you said one person might get a job. Our aim is to get 12 people gigs with MarketWise. Look, there is not a limit on how many people they will take on. They're a company who understand, as many of your viewers, and I know you yourself do as well, the value of good financial copy is enormous. And this whole project is really just trying to find and develop and encourage people completely new to it, but people maybe who have been trying to find a way into the industry, and kind of just getting them further along the kind of path, so that when they come to a company like MarketWise, they're prepped, they know where they're going, and MarketWise, hopefully, we have success and we can get 12 people like positioned with businesses within MarketWise. That said, if it's not right, it's not right, but that's our aim.
That's awesome. You know, I've been in this business for like over 20 years. I know you have as well. And it's funny what you hear. There are all these people out there, especially on LinkedIn and X and other social media, who beating their chest loudly that they're copywriters. But what I hear from people is it's hard to find a good one. It's hard to find one who can listen, to the client, who can, you know, communicate, who can talk. And there's a lot of copywriters don't like to talk, and who can deliver, who can execute, and then whose copy can deliver.
It's funny. I was just saying before we started recording, I'm currently not in my own home. It's my dad's birthday today, so I'm back home on the east coast of England for my dad's birthday. That's why I'm in this very strange small room. But I was just explaining to my parents what this whole thing is, because they're kind of like, oh, what are you up to? What's going on? I'm saying, oh, I'm speaking to David at five our time. And as explaining the situation, but then in doing so, I was explaining, she was going, oh, so how about your friend Woody? Is he still working there? And I was like, yeah, he runs the Australian business. And I was explaining, he works with a guy called Simon Munton, I replaced Simon Munton in Agora in the UK about 10, 15 years ago, kind of thing. And you realize, I often realize this, that the names, the people, that it's a very small pool of people who are still kind of there, I don't want to say make it, because that makes it feel a bit kind of elitist, and I don't mean it like that, but it is a very difficult thing to get to a certain level of specifically financial direct response copywriting. It's a very very difficult thing to achieve. There's so many people out there saying they're copy, doing this thing, trying to get into that world, and it's hard. It seems counterintuitive, given how many people you spend an hour on LinkedIn and you're going to see hundreds of copywriters claiming various things and doing things. But to actually get in and have that longevity, to have the deep understanding that's needed, it's very difficult. So part of what we're doing is trying to create a more realistic's not the right word, but a more let's say rounded way into that industry that really digs deeply into what it means to be a direct response copywriter, to understand ideas, to understand the financial world that you'll be writing in, and take our time to do that rather than just focusing on the kind of accoutrements around copy. Like, might go, oh, we'll do a great headline. It's like, no, we can kind of get to the writing at some point. It's actually the ideas that go before that. So part of the training that me and Nick will be doing over the 12 weeks will be a lot broader in scope than people might expect. We've kind of set ourselves a rule that we're not going to allow anybody to write anything for 2 weeks. It's what we think. That's certainly what we've been learning in mentoring copywriters for the last few years, is that it's so much based on ideas, deep thought. And that's something that I've noticed people tend to not wantingly or knowingly choose to avoid, but it's easy to avoid that and just do a quick fix headline and all this kind of stuff. So we're trying to really get people into a position where a company like MarketWise, who have a high threshold for like quality, they want to see people who are able to really think deeply about ideas. So we're trying to kind of lengthen the time that you have to train with someone like me and Nick, so that when you get to a company like MarketWise, you're not just straight off the bat kind of, oh yeah, I've been writing copy for them. It's no, I deeply understand what's going on here, and I've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I saw this social media post, and it was this list of Tiger Woods' morning routine. And, you know, it seemed like he did more exercise in half an hour than most people do in a year. And I think a really important point that a lot of people think it's like this. Well, I'll get the skills and then I just put it all on cruise control and it's easy, you know. And it's actually the opposite. it's actually the opposite, right? The better you get, the longer it takes to make the next improvement. That's just the way human learning works. And, it's not quite embrace the suck, which is, you know, what they say in Navy SEALs. I mean, it's not miserable. At least it's not for me and the people I know. But it's not a walk in the park either. It's like you have to enjoy getting into the thoughts and really exploring stuff and struggling with stuff sometimes and celebrating the breakthroughs and a little self-care when things don't go your way and then get back up on the horse, you know, all of that stuff.
Without doubt, yeah. I mean, I've noticed that it is a massively difficult thing, but you talking about learning as you go, like I've been doing this a long time and so has Nick, but we mentor students through the Fix, which is a kind of copywriting coaching thing that me and Nick set up. Everything we do is quite vague, but we've been doing that, and we have learned the copywriters about copy that we could have claimed to have been masters and understood it all, but we have learned so much in teaching other people and kind of analyzing how we would do certain things, and that growth and that learning that we get from mentoring. I think a lot of people point out that when you do mentor people, you learn as much as the mentor than the mentee. It's a two-way thing. You learn so much, and it never stops. Never stops learning. And if you do, that's when you kind of hang your boots up and you're done. Like, got to keep going.
I agree. One of the interesting things about mentoring, if you're mentoring after you've actually done it successfully for a while, is so, you know, Maslow had this 4 stages of learning, right? There is unconscious competence, conscious incompetence, then you get to competence, but you have to still think through every step, and that's conscious competence, and then unconscious competence, where it becomes a reflex. And when I'm mentoring people, I try and get them to that 4th point. The mentor has to go to a 5th point. They have to be conscious of unconscious competence. So you have to unpack, right? You have to unpack what you already know and break it down into steps that someone who's over here can understand. I know that could sound like, you know, a lot of double talk, but it's not. It's a very specific and noticeable thing.
I know exactly what you mean. I find it personally valuable. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're trying to teach people and kind of get people to follow in our footsteps and have similar success. Copywriting and this kind of style of copywriting changed our lives, and we wouldn't be where we are without having kind of got jobs with Agora 15 years ago. So we want to kind of pass that on, not in too altruistic a reason, kind of, but we do like that. But the actual benefit to us of learning and kind of leveling ourselves up and trying to understand, okay, so that person's there and they need me to do that. I find it fascinating. I guess that's why it's one of the reasons why we're doing this whole project and the financial copy you thing. Me and Nick both realize that as well as loving writing copy, we do objectively love teaching people how to do it.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. How did you and Nick get financial copy you started in the first place?
If we go back to, I guess, the beginning of me and Nick, the birth, the origin story, we met whilst we were both working in Agora in London. I don't remember the dates, and to try and obfuscate how old I'm getting, I kind of avoid them anyway. But we met in London, we were working in the office, and we happened to live like round the corner from each other. So we went out with our partners at the time, and we would go to the pub, and they would very quickly say, "We're going to go, because you two are very boring. All you do is talk about copy," and would be riffing like, "What are you writing? What are you working on?" And we were obsessed with it, and we loved it. And then we kind of went on our own paths. We went different ways. I left the Agora business and went and worked in the kind of weird agency, indirect world of kind of Mad Men stuff and what have you for a few years. And then eventually we got back together, and I can't remember, I think Nick called me and said, right, we're going to do this copywriting business that we always said would do. Countless copywriters in the UK, especially, I'm sure all over the world, always have got like, we're going to do this copywriting training thing and what have you. And we was like, okay, how are we going to do it differently? And one of the things that we wanted to do was make sure we focused on the copy. So we realized that we launched the fix, and the basic guiding principle, we're both shabby businessmen. We're not kind of clever, special businessmen or anything. We make it up as we go along. The only guiding principle we had was that we would just basically get copy and analyze it. Because something happens when you get the copy up in front of people. It changes people. You can do interviews. You can do all that kind of stuff. You can say, I've got these four special ways of changing the headline. But when you've got that copy in front of you and you're peer reviewing it and you're kind of thinking, when you're doing what if, and you're trying to kind of improve the copy in a tangible, noticeable way, it changes everything. It makes it more pure. So we thought, right, we'll do that. We did that for probably 2 years, I think we've been running the fix. And then because we're silly people, we thought we'd do a copywriting festival. So we did a copywriting festival underneath a church in London. That was a massive success. Then we did various other things. We just most recently, we hired Bill Bonner's Chateau in France, and we had like, I think about 25 business people from all over the country, really high up level kind of copywriters, come and did an event there. It was brilliant. It was wonderful. At that event was Brett from MarketWise, and we're friends with a few of the team there. And we got to talking about how do we get better quality financial copywriters into our world. How do we find them? How do we identify them? How do we train them? And we talk about, it's not all altruistic. There's a situation in copywriting which has existed for as long as I've worked in the kind of Agora MarketWise world, is that if when you get better at copywriting, you stop writing copy and you end up teaching copy. That means the business loses their best copywriters because they're spending all their time trying to teach copywriters. But we know that if you are a really good copywriter, you can write a promo that's going to make millions of pounds. That's incredibly valuable to a business. Sure, there is the element, if you can teach 10 to do the same, then that will exponentially grow. But that challenge has never really been met. So we said, well, me and Nick are doing this thing. Why don't we try and kind of recreate that? MarketWise really interested in doing that. So this is the birth of that. Financial Copy U is the, we thought, right, this is how we'll do it. We'll take 12 people over 12 weeks. It will be pretty intense, but it will follow that model. Fundamentally, we've mapped out a plan. We have a rough schedule of how to teach someone how to write a promo and the basic principles of copywriting, but also a kind of more how to interrogate ideas and how to know when you've got a good idea or a bad idea, and then how to express that idea. So we've got a plan like that, but a lot of it really does come down to just looking at copy, iterating on that, rewriting it. I kind of hate the word iteration because it's a little bit kind of tech bro-y, Silicon Valley kind of thing, but it is appropriate. Like, you just have to keep writing, keep changing, keep tweaking elements once you've got a good idea. The one thing I've noticed, and the one thing we'll be hitting over the head, it's no secret, and I've still not quite figured out the best way to express this, but I realized latterly that it's all about separating the idea from the expression of the idea. And the expression of the idea is what we typically focus on, the headlines, the leads, the how do we change the eyebrow, how do we get that promise there, how do we do that thing. But the idea itself, and being able to just talk about an idea, just kind of that tell me, so it like a bar, that it's that separation. So there'll be two sides to the kind of coin, if you like, the idea itself and then the expression of the idea.
I mean, if you can instill, if you can instill that in people, you've got your next million-pound copywriter right there, right? I mean,
hopefully that's the end of the game.
That is the step people skip, right? They skip, you know. Really, you know, Einstein said, you know, I'm not that smart. I just think about problems longer. I mean, it could have been Mike Palmer saying that, I guess, right? But, but I mean, it's sort of the same idea. Obviously, you can't take 6 months if you're a working copywriter, if you're not Mike Palmer, or however long Einstein took. But if you can spend some time resisting the urge to jump to a headline, jump to an offer, you know, and actually, like you said, interrogate the idea. So MarketWise has their own in-house training program, right?
They have, so MarketWise kind of has a load of companies beneath it, companies like Stansberry, Chaikin, and within each of those companies, they have little copy teams with copy chiefs within them, for instance, like Kelly at Stansberry. So they're still kind of open and they're looking for copywriters. There'll always be like no company who's not utterly insane would ever turn away a very good copywriter coming to them, kind of thing.
No, my question is how what you're doing compares to what the in-house training programs
at Stansberry. Yeah, so I mean, like, how do I say it without? We're quite close to those people. We know kind of all the people in that world, and we part of the reason, I guess, that two English dudes called Nick and Glenn helping at a massive American company kind of do this thing, which again in itself seems kind of counterintuitive. We ultimately want to place people in the offices in America. Part of the reason I think they want to work with us, I'm speaking for them, my own interpretation of that, is that we realized our philosophy of copy and how we would train people was aligned. I think it was about a year or so, maybe 2 years ago, we first met Kelly at Stansberry, and she was like, oh, you guys are serious, like, you know what you're doing. It was like, yeah, we believe in this, like, this is what's going on. Since then, Nick Wrights has written a lot of breakthrough copy and very successful promos for MarketWise businesses. And that's the thing, we're still active copywriters. And I think that's another part of our own kind of internal rough guiding philosophy, which makes us sound more pretentious than it is. But we always wanted to be in the game. We didn't want to just be kind of, here we are, this is what we've learned, and kind of doing the... just saying, oh yeah, we've hung up our boots and now we're going to tell everybody. We're actively in that business, so we understand what they're looking for. We understand each of their successful copywriters, the kind of tools, I was going to say tricks, I corrected myself, but then I exposed myself anyway, but the tools they use and what have you. So we kind of, we're aligned in our understanding, and I think it comes back to that slightly yet to be refined definition, but philosophically understanding that the importance of the idea first, then you go to express the idea. You can only do that once you've got a strong idea. You mentioned Mike Palmer. We were at the Chateau recently, the event we did, and Mike came. And there was a few copywriters who we worked with who came along who were like really excited to see like Mike Palmer speak, and was like, oh wow, I'm gonna get Mike Palmer's look at my copy and all this kind of stuff. And we said, you might be slightly disappointed. And they said, what do you mean? You'll see. Anyway, Mike gets up, talks about a thing, and as all good copywriters, eventually you realize this, the trick is that really all he does is go, no, you just have to think about it a bit longer. Like, it's all, you said, I made one note on my phone just at the beginning of this thing. You said common sense, and it's all so much common sense, but having the discipline to to kind of engage in common sense and to think and to slow down and to not rush things is very difficult.
It's easier when you're on a podcast and you're chatting to common sense. When you're in the heat of battle, when the deadline's on, when there's money on the line, and people breathing down your neck, a little different. Okay, I'm going to ask you a real copywriter question now. So let's say someone makes the cut and gets into your program, your financial copy you program. At the end of 3 months, what transformation should they expect to have happened for them?
They'll be at least 67.4% better looking. That's been through legal. We've got that approved. When you were saying the royalties, by the way, I was like, it's good we got that all checked by legal. The transformation that.
So you're going to do some work on them then.
We're going to do some. I've not even talked about the cosmetic surgery.
Plastic surgery.
That's coming. That's in week six. Once you've expressed the idea, we move into the cosmetic surgery of the idea. No. What I'd like to see happen is just a kind of deeper understanding of their own abilities, and I say that. And I'm thinking, yesterday I had calls with some of the students I already mentor, and all of them can write copy. All of them can come up with great ideas. All of them can express ideas really engagingly and brilliantly. But for whatever reason, they don't have the freedom to do that. They don't have the frameworks to do that. They don't have the confidence to do that. And to fully kind of unlock themselves and trust that taking the time. So even in I'm a big on like practical business sense where it's like, you've got a deadline to hit. So you've got to get it done. We can't be all arty farty about kind of all getting this done. You've got to get the copy written. However, even within a limited time frame, let's say you've got 8 hours to write a piece. Most people will spend half an hour researching it and then spend 7 hours trying to write something, not knowing what the hell's going on, desperately trying to get the expression of the idea right, and 30 minutes possibly reviewing it. I would just have the confidence to go, I know I have the ability to express this idea pretty well, and I'm going to edit it pretty well and with kind of clean eyes as well. So I'm going to actually probably give myself 3 hours research and trust that spending your time better using your own innate skills, which we're not going to give you any new skills, I don't think. We're going to push you. We're going to try and bring out what you already kind of innately know. I don't know. But anyway, so I think that's what I'd like to see transmit, the confidence, greater discipline to trust in your ability to write well and come up with good ideas. That's the end. A little bit kind of, I use a word waffy, which I don't think is in the English language, but I use it to describe like things that don't really, I've not explained them well. Bit of a waffy thing, but that's the vibe.
No, that's good. I like that very much. It's clear to me. Yeah.
I dig that. I think it was Abraham Lincoln said something along the lines of, if I've got 8 hours to chop down a tree, I'm going to spend the first 7 hours sharpening my axe.
There you go. That is it. There's not a day that goes by that I don't get compared to Abraham Lincoln. It's really weird. It's really weird.
Oh, but you're much better looking. I guess you've already had the work done, yeah?
Well, if you take his beard off, he actually looks a lot like me.
I see. Very good. Okie dokie. Well, so if people want to apply, and they've got about a week, because you said you'd extend it. Originally, the deadline was before we air this, but you're going to give them till...
Yep. Anybody who's watching this, if you just get it in like before the end of August, basically, I'll be looking out. At the same time, I don't want you to rush, but... Yes, right. We've already kind of got loads of applications in and what have you. So, but make sure at least I say let the meat rest. Like you should, if you're cooking a steak, you should let the steak like rest for a while. at least let like an overnight thing and take your time. But if you get it in before the end of August, if you're interested, if you've got questions, you can find our email. I mean, we live in a very social media based world. You can find us, but like just email us, drop us a line if there's a problem. I think we've pretty much covered most of it in that kind of letter and invitation. But ultimately, yeah, anything, just tell us why you want to work at MarketWise and why you think you might be interested in writing about the ideas that they publish. And we'll be interested to hear from you.
Okay. Sounds good. You had me at cosmetic surgery. I was born with these birthmarks that people often mistake for face tattoos. If people are listening to this and they're interested, where's the best place to go to check out more about this?
If they go to financialcopyu.com, I believe I've set up a domain that will get you there. And yeah, you can find it there. But you can kind of find us through like the Fix and all this kind of stuff. But or just search for us on LinkedIn or what have you. But yeah, financialcopyu.com. And I think it should all be signposted. I don't want to be too mean, but if you can't find it, that's probably going to be a bad indication of your research skills for future projects when you need to like understand what happened in 1904 at the Fed and all this kind of stuff. You'll find it. I trust people. I trust the million-dollar copywriter watching this now thinking, I've got this. This is me. They're going to find it.
We'll make it easy for people. We'll put it in the show notes. If you're listening to this, you want to find the link directly.
No links.
Oh, man, I was going to plug copywriterspodcast.com. That's how we get people back to the website.
We believe that actually, like me and Nick have talked about, we're just going to do the opposite to everything and just stop marketing altogether and just like be like a strange, those kind of clubs where you have to like knock on the door and say, is someone there, and like move down and what have you. That's where the modern world is going. So we're going to go the other way.
All right. Well, still, if you enjoyed this episode and you want more, head over to copywriterspodcast.com.
And but don't look at the show notes where we have the links. Don't look at them because Nick doesn't want you to see.
Yeah. Just go stand outside and feel it. Just feel like, just shout into the ether.
You got to get an invite from somebody. You got to get an invite from somebody who's already in the club. Anything else before we're out of here, gentlemen?
No, Glenn, thank you so much. This is great. Happy birthday to your dad, by the way. Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank
to him.
You. He's 67 today. We're going to a place called Steels, which, I mean, most of your audience are American people watching this. A little tiny village called Cleethorpes, and there's a very famous fish and chip shop there where my nana used to work, but sadly no more. She used to butter the bread. But we're going to Steele's fish and chips. Truly English is the end. That's my okay. No, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
All right. Until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.